Surprise, this is not my usual intro, but this is a continuation of my conversation with CJ and part two of the podcast titled Daddy Mingles. Other pushy salespeople in lab coats spraying perfume on you. Groups of teenage girls sipping Starbucks. Well, I've noticed in Walmart that too many people were using the free samples, squirting on, so a lot of the more expensive cologne was behind a locked and key glass.
And they come out wearing too much, and they smell totally horrid.
Ew!
Let's just hope the parking situation is better than it would be at a mall. Yard sale malls are kind of like old school bazaar markets. Sounds super fun, but this funny yard sign might lead to a great treasure.
Okay.
Have you seen that show about Oak Island, Treasure of Oak Island?
Yeah, I've watched bits and pieces of it.
Mystery at Oak Island, or whatever it's called. Where they, this is going to be the great find to the gold treasure or whatever. And here they find like a nail or a board. Yeah, like every episode. It's like, are they making more money off the show? Or are they actually going to find anything eventually?
Yeah.
I think that's in off the northern coast of the U.S. or maybe farther north. Not sure. Then again, you may not. You never know unless you check. But using the word crap isn't inspiring a lot of confidence that wares for sale are particularly valuable or interesting. Maybe it's just a form of the soft sell. Probably a sign that would work at all of the spring cleanup I've seen outside lawns in this town. Yeah, one person's crap is another's treasure. Turn into crap for them, too. Well, maybe you'll find something like a gem that you can make some money at Pawn Stars or the Gold and Silver Pawn Shop or whatever they call it in Las Vegas. Like one kid, he comes in there. He knew it was a valuable coin, but he didn't know how valuable. And he asked for $20,000, and Rick Harrison could have really screwed over this kid and given him the $20,000. But it was the most rare $1 coin ever.
Huh.
He asked him, "Well, how did you come about getting this coin?" He goes, "Oh, I won it in a poker game." I hope he does not know the other person, or that person did not see the show, because he might be
really
a little
mad.
Upset with him.
Try to track him down somehow.
Yeah. I guess I should tell you, for your information, the kid walked out of the Pawn Stars shop with $80,000. That's quite a bit more than he asked for. Ka-ching!
That was legitness.
The never-ending cycle of crap that gets traded from yard to yard is enough to make your head spin. Yeah, that's for sure.
Huh.
Turn right at this hilarious yard sign, which is somewhere.
That kind of goes along with that show, and I like to watch it pretty often on PBS, where they bring in their antiques or old stuff, and sometimes, you know, they bring in this stuff and it's not worth anything. People will bring in something that you don't think's worth much at all, and all of a sudden it's worth, you know, thousands or whatever. It's just, it's crazy.
One guy brought in the rarest, earliest video game cartridge or whatever, and he was asking for $1,000,000.
Wow.
And Rick Harrison thought the guy was totally crazy, but they brought a toy or video game expert or toy sale expert, and that thing could have brought that at an auction, And he said he knows why the guy was asking for that price.
I think some people that go to those pawn shops and stuff really should know not what they think it's worth, but what they know it's worth. You know, a lot of people go in there and come up with this false dollar amount, and it's so totally off of what it's really worth. They need to do a little bit of research before they just take it in, expecting to get something. What is it really?
Yeah. You know that the expert will give a price like, oh, you might get $2,500 out of this. And, of course, the person says right away, oh, I want $2,500.
Yeah.
They don't know how a pawn shop works.
All right.
Sorry. If I give you that, I'd make no profit at all, you know.
Yep.
I got to make money, too, kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, I did read a story where Rick Harrison's mother is suing him for something contractually they agreed upon with the pawn store or money from it, which is kind of bad if allegedly he was trying to screw over his mother. And you have to admit, if I could read today, I'm gonna. It's a nice touch, even if it's a poor form, to have the postscript run longer than the actual body of the letter. Someone could use a correspondence class. But also, this guy is threatening to shoot trespassers on site for stealing lawn signs. Would you want to go to even a yard sale that has a sign saying, shoot the people trying to steal yard sign?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
What's hilarious is the offense he'll have in court when he faces his criminal murder charges, if that happens. It looks like one of the those rap guy garage sales. Oh, that ought to be good. Well, if it's a successful one, usually they have gaudy designer jewelry on. I mean, it's like so large, it's like out there. If you're courting fans of pop culture.
Oh. Pop culture.
Yeah. You're doing things right. Old school hip hop, this is a funny yard sign, and I cannot lie.
Yeah, we can lie because we can't see it.
Oh my God, here's the two ladies from Minnesota that I don't know how they're doing right now or what they're doing, but they share, they're two separate people. And she is really close to her sister because they share one body.
The conjoined, and, huh?
Yep.
Huh.
Which is...
I don't think I've heard of them.
They decided, I guess, surgery would kill them, or at least one. It's just...
Huh.
How would you work out, like, marriage with... that?
Yeah, I don't know. They there was those twins, I think it was like back in the 1920s or earlier, they were Siamese twins, I think, something like that. And they went for years in the circuses and stuff, and I think they eventually did get married, and I'm not really sure how. I don't remember the full story. They passed away, obviously, but it was interesting.
Maybe they get some leeway there. Hopefully the guy isn't just trying to date them for his 15 minutes of fame. maybe they would allow one guy who loves them both. That would probably be the best option instead of separate boyfriends.
There's a channel on YouTube called Faces of the Forgotten. And this guy travels to cemeteries and talks about famous people or odd situations of why somebody passed away. And he'll tell the story, and then he'll go to the gravesite and talk a little bit more about it. But I think he did the Siamese twins once.
Oh, okay.
There's another guy has another show. I think it's called Lamont at Large. He does something very similar to it, where he travels and tells stories about, you know, some of the stories. Well, most of them obviously end up sad because the person eventually passed away. But it's just interesting. Some of them will show pictures of what that person looked like if they can find it on, you know, find it on a search or something. Mm-hmm. But that one guy, I know he did. He did do the one on those Siamese twins.
These two?
Yeah, not on these, but the Siamese twins.
Oh, the Siamese.
The ones that were in the circuses and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they've given up on the freak shows, things at state fairs and county fairs, which I don't know. It would be interesting to see some of that when they were around.
Yeah. I remember when they had one similar to that at the state fair. And that was kind of, I don't remember, I went into one, and I don't remember what it was right offhand. It was odd, but I personally think it was still fake, but what they had, it made you wonder when you went in there.
I remember a story about one guy who could, he just grew hair all over his body, like Bigfoot.
Oh, I think that was one of them that was at the state fair.
And
that was really weird.
I mean, what would you do if you took, like, the lawnmower? What is the name of that? A razor clipper company that sells those. I can't think of it right now. But would you? Oh, this is for grooming down below the waist, too. Now, would you want any product that has lawnmower in the title down near your...
Weed eater?
Your bean bag? let's see. That's really taking aim at would-be robbers. A little over the top, maybe, but I guess it works. I mean, who would tempt fate with a body-shaped target with bullet holes in the front yard? The neighbors must be thrilled. Then again, what are they really hiding inside the house? A body in the freezer or something? Now that you put it this way, I'm actually very curious. Was that the intention of this funny lawn sign?
Oh, okay, that was kind of weird not seeing the sign.
Not only did this guy lose his pet, but he also lost his nunchucks. No word on if he's a teenage or mutant turtle, but better safe than sorry. If someone says an animal is dangerous, I'm inclined to believe them. Right off the bat, post this funny yard sign in the sewers for a more accurate result.
Okay, that doesn't even sound interesting to look at. Of course, we don't have the sign in front of us, but it doesn't sound.
Yeah,
it's not something I could even try to imagine because it doesn't make sense.
No. Is another man's hobby, and a much cleaner one, I would assume, if you compare your yard sale to dumpster diving. Maybe just put everything in a dumpster and people can... dive in there.
Sure. Dive in, but you don't come out.
People might be skeptical of the value of what you're putting up for sale, but there is always hope. Listen to this funny outdoor sign and start dumpster diving today.
Yes, we're going to do that right after we're done with the show.
Thankfully, here we don't live in a bigger city where you don't see that often, whereas some of the cities you do have that. To clarify, he's not in love with you, and he's also quite sleep-deprived, so don't take it personally. That's why you don't take NyQuil and go out leaving notes on cars, or maybe just never put notes on cars. Let's hope this man delivered his love note to his wife, don't have to resort to making funny outdoor signs to prove his affection.
Okay.
So he put that in his front yard. Or on a car.
Maybe put him on the wrong car.
That's possibly it. I got up not too long ago, so I'm going through the groggy stage, but that makes it more humorous at times in this podcast. He cannot believe it's not more expensive or that it's not better. Butter.
Butter. Better butter.
Better butter. Or better butters from South Park. I'm not sure what's for sale at this yard sale, but if it has Fabio's approval, it might be some pretty interesting stuff. What do you suppose? Hair care products? But there are probably a few romance novels to choose from. Funny yard signs or sexy yard signs. Either way, we're shopping there.
Okay.
Romance novels. You remember the nationwide talk show host. I don't know if she's on anywhere anymore or retired, but some woman was just totally upset. She called in that her husband watched pornographic movies before she before he came up to her to have sex with her. And Dr. Laura, and hooray for her to saying it, it's one for the guys. And she goes, do you read romance novels? And she goes, yeah. What do you think romance novels are for women? Porn, basically what she was saying.
Yeah.
And being guys are more visual. Maybe she just she implied that the guy might just be revving it up, so he gave you the wife a more better experience. In the same way with you reading romance novels, so she kind of shut her down, which I kind of find cool. Unless you want to be on an episode of Ghost Hunters, or Ghost Adventures, the one that I watch.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're all trying to make more money, and they're going to the monthly streaming services, which I will not. I do have Netflix, but I'm not buying a whole fleet of monthly streamers. I already pay for one cable service.
Yeah, and there's stuff on YouTube. There's one I follow quite a bit on YouTube, and some of it I agree with the person that's doing it. Some of it I'm like, I think you're coming to the wrong conclusion. But you got some interesting stuff on there.
Yeah, over TV nowadays, it seems like I'm watching YouTube the most, just free YouTube.
Yeah, I do. I do too. Or there's a couple of shows I follow on Netflix, but YouTube is a lot of what I watch.
Usually, I'm watching it to cure a problem, technical problem with my phone or my computer, and it's kind of a more learning experience than just watching some crap on TV.
Right. You know?
This could be your shot at fame. Then again, maybe the house really isn't haunted, and this person is just terrible at selling things. That's actually more likely. With the housing market booming like it is today, chances are the buyers still waive the paranormal investigator inspection fees, too. I do give credit to the paranormal show that is on the Travel Channel, that they haven't moved everything, the newest stuff, to Discovery Plus. and you find the woman on that show to be kind of freaky.
Oh, she's really freaky.
Amy Allen.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she's a physical medium where she can, if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. She says she's a physical medium, and that physical mediums typically have a shorter lifespan than normal people.
That I didn't know.
And that probably she would want to, she told what a mental medium is, that they don't feel the pain or whatever the spirit is feeling on the way they died, which would be beneficial, not to be able to feel the condition of the person. But I guess they're just trying to tell their story when they project their pain of the death onto the other person, the medium. I don't know. She is a little strange, as you call it.
It's an interesting program. I'll give you that. I have watched it, and I do find it interesting. But she's just freaky to me, is all. She just kind of creepy, as a lot of the teenagers would say. But it is an interesting show, and I have watched it.
When she's done with her investigation, she has a police sketch artist or a sketch artist do a sketch of the most odd thing she found in the house that they're investigating to try and save it for the homeowners. And at the end, during the reveal, they call it, they tell them whether they can stay or go. Usually she tells them what, oh, you need to bring in a religious person to do this many blessings. You need to spread salt around your house, or what are some of the others? Oh, you need to bring in a voodoo priest. What are some of the others? A Reiki master is another one. I'm not even sure what a Reiki master does. I know she's explained it, but it's been a long time ago since I've seen that.
There's a, on that one, since you actually mentioned the name of that website or that YouTube channel that I watch a lot, is, I think it's called G-Team Paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times on there I've seen them suggest, well, you got to put this type of stone in the corner of your yard, do it all the way around the yard to help keep, you know, the spirits gone. And to me, that's just kind of bizarre. I know what the Bible says about all that stuff, and it just totally does not match up with anything about the Bible, so I don't get that whole stone thing. Yeah, I've seen it done with that too.
I'm going to say, I also have seen some of the exorcisms they do on Ghost Adventures, where they bring in the Catholic priest who's knowledgeable about that, and he reads certain things out of a book to try and rebuke the evil inside the house. And sometimes one of the solutions they come up with is burying tiny crosses at four corners of the property of the house, whether you believe that or not. But the person they're dealing with obviously is going through some pain, possessed.
We'll have to do a show, because I've experienced a lot of stuff, especially living down south. We'll have to do a show sometime where we just talk about different stories and stuff people have seen, maybe stuff that I have seen. And, of course, the town I live in is known as the Halloween capital of the world, and there's a lot of stories about stuff downtown and all that. Pretty interesting, but we should do a show sometime, maybe toward October when it gets closer to Halloween.
They did a show, I forget what it's called. They called it Helltown. It used to be called Boston, Ohio. And it's where they found a underground bunker with just a whole lot of It looks like military bunker with it looked like a very protective bank safe. And they sent in army people to trying to find a Wendigo is what they call the cryptid, as they call them. And one of the army people they sent in, military, I'm not sure. I think it was the army branch. But they went in with the film crew, and there were obviously Satanist worshipers in black robes and whatever. And then you would see flashes of the Wendigo, which had horns on it like a buck deer. And what the thing was with him, but the Wendigo, they found dead bodies, and they were had the bones, all the bones taken out of their body.
Huh.
And it was kind of like deflating a pool floaty.
Huh.
So it was just like rubber, just totally bizarre.
Now there are, and I think it's, I could be wrong, I think it's in Arizona, there are Indians called the Wendigos. So I don't know if there's any correlation between that and what you're talking about, but there are a group of Indios called, a group of Indians called the Wendigos.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I know from Ghost Adventures that when they find out it was previously Native American land, they're pretty good at placing curses on land. And one of the areas they went to, it was Native American land previously. But they talked about skinwalkers.
Uh-huh.
I would hate to meet up with something like that.
There's another YouTube channel that I watch, not as often anymore, but I think it's called the Paranormal Team or something like that. And it's this young college kid. He's actually from South Dakota. But I think he's going to college in Texas or something now. But he and his dad, he used to have a couple other guys that traveled with him, but I think it's more just him and his dad now that travel around to different places, and that's a pretty good channel. He approaches things more from a, I don't want to say a common sense standpoint, but more, you know, a little bit more realistic on stuff, and some of his opinions, like everything else, some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. He doesn't put a lot of trust in the SP7 boxes, although he's got one. He goes more about his personal experience at these sites and what he's heard and what he's experienced. Does that more so than all the meter stuff, although he does utilize it. But it's pretty interesting. And to find out he was from South Dakota was pretty interesting. He visited his home place and the home place of his grandparents, and I think it was South Dakota. I don't think it was North Dakota. I think it was South Dakota. But he's done some stuff in Sioux Falls, and he did a tour recently up to the, I think to Rochester and to some parts of the Twin Cities. But he goes all over the country. He's done a bunch of stuff in Arizona and New Mexico and that. And it was pretty interesting. He's done some stuff on the Dybbuk boxes.
Oh, yeah, and, Dybbuk box.
Yeah, he's done some stuff on that. And his turned out to be pretty much fake. He ordered one in the mail, and they did all the stuff, and pretty much turned out fake. But, yeah, he's pretty interesting. I do watch him occasionally.
Before COVID started, I sort of wanted to arrange a trip to Las Vegas, where my oldest brother lives, who is retired. And they do have, from Ghost Adventures, Zach Baggins, the leader of the Ghost Adventures crew, has made up a huge haunted museum, which you can walk through. And he has some authentic props used from the Ghostbusters movies. And he also has the authentic Jack Kevorkian assisted suicide van and whole room set up with the Kevorkian's office, and it's just bizarre. But one of the drawbacks of that, I've heard that they try, before COVID, of course, they tried to push too many people there at once, and you couldn't spend much time in any area. And he had a Dybbuk box under glass. And some people have had experience where, like women or stuff, they've fainted and different weird things happen there.
Yeah, I've got a friend that lives in Oklahoma, and she's got connections with somebody that's in charge of a courthouse in some town out there. And she said that we have a standing invitation to go out and investigate that courthouse. And that's one thing I don't get into, although it would be kind of interesting. There's something about it, and maybe it's because of my spiritual beliefs too, but I just won't go out seeking stuff. So I probably will never do that courthouse. And I probably will never go to that museum. To me, that's just too creepy and stuff for me. But I enjoy reading about the stuff and hearing about it and just going according to what I've personally experienced that I did not go out looking for, stuff that has just happened. But that's me. Some people like that, and they want to go and do all this stuff, and I personally won't, but that's my personal feeling. But it was interesting to find out to hear about that museum, and of course I've seen tours of it they've done on TV and stuff, and it's pretty interesting stuff. And that other one where they visit the clown motel, that is pretty interesting.
Oh, Zach Bagans, yep. He hates clowns.
Yep.
And he went into one area, one building, that it was all clowns. And he was sitting there, and a clown had his hand on his knee, and he was sitting right next to it, and the clown actually moved the arm a little bit, and he freaked out, and totally freaked out.
That one YouTube channel I said I watched with the young guy from South Dakota, they visited at that clown motel one time, and they caught all kinds of stuff on video and stuff that just freaked them out. And he doesn't freak easy because he goes into these places pretty skeptical, but that place did freak him out. And
I think that might have been the actual place, the same place
possibly
Zach Bagans went to. But since we do have a meeting, we're going out to eat with friends, and it's getting to be around that time, and this is going to be a longer podcast.
but an interesting one.
Yeah, interesting that we get into yard signs and we evolve to the paranormal talk.
But it's interesting because we didn't just switch courses. That actually came from something we just read about.
True.
For the yard signs, so figure that one out. It just kind of transitioned like that.
I would like to thank you, CJ, for sitting in on another podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun again. I enjoy doing these with you when we get together. So
I think it is time to pop and drop this, drop it like it's hot to the interwebs for your podcast perusal for your ears.
And we will not have the ghosts follow us out of here. They can stay wherever they're at. They don't need to be following us.
That would be freaky. I wouldn't. That's what I would worry about the most, is something following me home or whatever and have things move. That's another thing. One other show is Paranormal Caught on Video, where people have set up security cameras and stuff just gets thrown around in the house.
Yep.
Without anybody there.
Yep, that's for another show, but I've seen it, and some of it you can tell was made up. They're just trying to get their time on TV. Some of it you scratch your head and go, that's freaky.
Well, there's another edit.
Strike up the band.
Yeah. As always, you can make a donation to my PayPal if you enjoy my program at randyms12@gmail.com. Except for you, Daniel, I know that you're saving for your wedding, wedding dress and reception and whatever. But do shave the beard. It doesn't go with the wedding dress. You can check out my Facebook page, and you can check out, what is it, Twitter. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. And as always, remember that I would like to say thank you to all my listeners in the United States and around the world. I hope you have a pleasant day and a happy ending tonight, wherever you are. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Maybe Elvis is in the room with us. And not at the KFC in Michigan, I guess.
Well, I hope not his ghost.
Yeah, very true.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Keep it real, homies.